Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by DeskTime. Love your job, hate the office? DeskTime connects you with great space to get work done. 100 plus spaces available in Chicago by the day or month. Find more information at desktimeapp.com. Hey everybody, welcome to a very special Talking Games Retro Edition. I'm one of your two hosts, Tim Dunn, that's my co-host.
Clayton Margeson.
And it's a retro edition because we are back in Clayton's basement.
That's right.
Yes.
Just for you, you, special listener, listening to this right now.
Yes.
This is all for you, man.
This is a real throwback. Because Kellen couldn't be here, and he knows all of the technical equipment.
That is 100% correct. None of that was fat on that statement.
No.
That was all true.
Yeah. I've not taken the time to learn it in the months we've been there.
No. I like to make fun of Kellen while he's setting it up.
Yeah.
So I don't think he loves to show it to me.
But look, we need him. Don't let him hear this, but like, we need him.
Unfortunately, Kellen is the only one of the three of us who listens to the podcast, especially when he's not on it.
Sure. Yeah. Clayton.
Yo.
What are you playing right now? Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Clayton's high.
What?
Clayton.
You son of a bitch. You swore. You swore to me, Tim. You swore to
That's
God.
That's also why this is a special episode.
Unbelievable. I can't. I'm so upset with you. I can't believe it. That's it.
Sure.
This is the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Tell me in like an hour that that's true.
Okay, I will.
Because I might forget.
I'll remind you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oof.
What are you playing, dude?
Man. I've been playing... So I've got a bunch of games this week. I got Hong Kong... Or Shadowrun's Hong Kong. Have you heard about
that?
This?
No.
Snuck up on me. Did you play Shadowrun Returns?
No.
Dude,
Is this DLC for that?
Yes, well, it's really just a standalone game.
Oh.
The whole idea with Shadowrun Returns was they wanted to, like, build an engine that they could then come back to pretty easily.
Nice.
So they did that, and then they basically ran, like, a free DLC where it fixed all these problems that it had originally. Yeah. And then after that, they made Dragonfall, which is really great and really worth your time as a D&D fan. And then if you, if you get, like, the Enhanced Edition or whatever, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually they come out with this Hong Kong game. It came out on Tuesday, so a week from today for you listeners. Almost a week from today.
Okay.
For me and you, Tim.
But it's still that weird, like, future cyberpunk style, right?
Cyberpunk with, like, high fantasy D&D role-playing mechanics.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're, like... So I'm playing, like, an elf enforcer.
Gotcha.
All right. And then, like, yeah, I'm hanging out with, like, a fucking shaman orc lady who has, like, rats all over her because she's, like, a rat fetishist or something. Not in, like, a sexy way.
Yeah, no.
Like, a shaman.
Hey, man, I wasn't judging.
Yeah. But it wasn't a sexy way.
Okay.
So don't judge it,
I feel like you're trying to really push this home.
It's a sexual game, too. I'm deeply attracted to this rat lady. I've also been playing... Trine 3 came out.
Oh, I've heard of Trine. I've never played it, though.
The first two are great. This one's good, but it's like, it goes from 2D to 3D in a way that I'm like, this didn't need to happen. Like, not even, like, it's bad, it's just like, I didn't need this.
Nice.
Like, it just is annoying, because sometimes I'll fall off, like, the front of the screen.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, I didn't know that was there.
These are, like, what, adventure games?
Puzzle games. Physics-based puzzle games.
Nice.
And you play a wizard, like a raunchy, sexy wizard. I'm not making that up.
That's right.
He's like an old man, but he's like kind of a playboy.
Yes.
And he's also a super coward. Then you've got your fat knight who, like, is obsessed with justice and, like, righting the wrongs of others. But he's also obsessed with, like, sheep in a non-sexual way, Tim. But he's obsessed with sheep. And then there's a thief who's like a girl, kind of sarcastic thief. She's pretty standard thief territory.
Nice.
But I love that the knight is so fucking fat. Like, you never see that in a game.
Yeah.
Steiner from Final Fantasy IX, I think
closest
that's
closest you would get. Right.
And also The World Ends With You, which you've played for the DS.
Yes, I got into it. It's, the plot is crazy.
It is? What is it?
Yes, I don't know, because I didn't finish it. It's a good game. I also can't really put
my mind to, like, what the battle system was.
It was so strange.
You're still figuring it out deep into the game.
God damn it. Really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's how I felt. And I was like, man, this is... It's taken me a while to get used to this.
Yes.
And they keep introducing new stuff.
It reminds me a little bit of Xenogears in that, like, you just hit a weird combination of buttons and something cool would happen.
Okay.
But you don't really know what that is until later on.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's so... First, I thought it was, like, rhythm-based. Because the girl on top has, like... But that's also the thing. You're trying to control both characters at the same time.
Yeah.
Did you put her in autoplay? Because I have.
I've not missed it.
So, with the left hand, you're hitting the D-pad to do, like, dance moves with her.
Yeah.
That hurt enemies. They're, like, fighting moves, but it's just, like DDR, like, right, or whatever. Like, right, down, up, left. And then you're also trying to make her find a card combination that's going on up top. And you're down below swiping with the stylus to, like, attack enemies that you're actually fighting, and she has HP and you have HP. It's so strange. It's the weirdest fighting system.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the story because it's got this weird... I mean, it's the most, like, an actual anime story that I've seen in a game, yeah. I think.
Wasn't it kind of like, what's it,
Sword Art Online.
Oh, I wasn't even gonna say that.
No, I don't know. I just was guessing an anime.
What's the Japanese movie where it's like all Akira? The teenagers are on the island and they have to kill each other?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Battle Royale.
Except, no, there's like a ghost element to it in this, right?
Like, yeah, there's spiritual... some weird shit.
Yeah,
I don't understand it completely. I thought it was like, oh, they're in like a dystopian future. And then it's like, nope, this is like, they're in a ghost
current
world.
Day, yeah.
In a game. But they're in a game too? I don't know.
It's a dumb game.
It's
cool.
I really like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I really am enjoying like, how it's all playing out. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's like Lost. They've set so much stuff up. I gotta know a little bit more.
As for myself, I was traveling all week. I was up in Minnesota. So a lot of, I've been plugging Settlers of Catan, the app, and Civilization 4.
Are these the sponsors this week?
Yeah, those are our sponsors this week. Civilization 4. Go back to the old one.
Here's our sponsor this week is Sid Meier.
And those weird German guys that made Settlers of Catan.
Mm.
Clayton, my stagnation in terms of new games. Oh, wait, I did want to talk about one thing. I almost bought Until Dawn today.
Oh, yeah.
God, that looks cool.
It looks so strange. What? It's like a horror movie that you're in or something? Or
yes.
It's like a B-horror movie type plot? I don't know.
So it's like 10 hours long each playthrough. And similar to like a Heavy Rain or one of those choice-based games.
A Quantum of Solace.
Or, wait,
what was it called?
Quantum of Solace.
What's
the
game they made? Not the Bond movie.
Oh, Spirit Beyond something?
Beyond Thunderdome. That's it. You played as Tina Turner, and you gotta decide if this is the way you want your career to go.
It's real meta. It is real meta.
It's a meta movie, but it's a video game.
So it's like those choice-based games, it's like a horror film. It reminds me of Dread, which we've talked about.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was hoping you would say.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. I might have to check that out.
But the stagnation of what I've been playing is going to end soon because of Metal Gear Solid 5, which we just found out is apparently incredible.
Maybe.
No, I don't think you can have this much consensus without it being truly great.
But don't they only give early review, or like only review access basically to like critics who have in the past praised them pretty highly?
I mean, sure,
isn't
but
that true?
I think you can do IGN and Kotaku and all these great places.
Yeah,
like
Kotaku, when they gave it to Kotaku, I was like, God damn, that's unreal.
And it seems like the consensus is they've just changed so much that was terrible about it before.
Really?
Yeah. So,
that's why he really left. That's why Kojima actually took off. You have made my insufferable bullshit into something playable. I'll never work again.
But they said there is one cutscene at the very beginning that's about an hour and a half long.
No! No! Is that true? That can't 90 minutes long?
And in terms of the prologue,
oh no!
Once you're done with that, no cutscenes over about 2 minutes long.
Oh,
but that is insane!
That's a movie,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah,
that's a feature film. That's not even like a student film.
No, but then
oh god,
they say it's a lot like Peace Walker in that there is base building and just like a series of missions that you can knock out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
But that also reminds me of, even though I wasn't a huge fan of it, honestly, but I did like that aspect of it. Blacklist, the latest Splinter Cell game.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NBC show.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim, I thought I'd talk about an NBC show real quick.
That James Spader
that's cool
show?
With you.
Okay.
I'd like to talk a lot about Blacklist. Okay. I mean, a lot. No, the Splinter Cell game is ridiculous.
Oh, cool.
Like, in some of the really cool, like, they can just go anywhere. So it no longer has to be kind of beholden to, all right, here's the warehouse, and then here's the this. Like, you go all over the world to all these different mission sites.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of the Splinter Cell stuff has lost that recently. Like, Conviction didn't really have that before. So this having it, I'm actually like, oh, I like it, but I really did not like Splinter Cell Blacklist in the end. Yeah, I don't know. Is it going to be great?
I think so. I have to believe now.
I have to believe.
This is all I've got, Clay.
You can't use that card anymore, Tim. Yeah. Your life is better now than it's been
true.
Before.
Yeah,
because, ooh, boy. It was
beforehand. Yikes.
It was getting pretty rough for me to be your friend. So I can only imagine how you felt.
But we thought today... In light
true
of the fact,
talking games with Tim Clayton
pulling
Kellen,
a show together
and
in the last hour. we thought we'd talk about perfect games.
Yes,
and what that is.
I thought we'd just name them,
yeah,
and then turn the microphone off.
It's not subjective.
Nope.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Easy to figure out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We spent about 5 minutes coming up with it. Just bullshitting.
Yeah. So let's start. Crackdown.
Crackdown is always the one you go to. It's Crackdown or Bulletstorm, I think was the other one you said one time.
Wait,
that made me
no
laugh
way.
Really hard. Yeah, I think
no
so.
No way.
Maybe you said Bayonetta.
No, I've never played that.
But I don't know why you said Bulletstorm, but it was your go-to, like... Like, I mean, art can't really be perfected. Unless you got, like, Bulletstorm.
stupid game. No, I feel like, because every, I'd say once a year,
yeah,
there's like a 10 out of 10 across the board.
Yep.
But it's, sometimes that doesn't always hold up in terms of history.
Right.
Like, a lot of people had problems with the GTA games being like 10 out of 10s or whatever.
Or, Uncharted 3.
Don't you think that holds up?
No, well, I mean, it just got a lot of backlash when it was like, this is a 10 out of 10. And that was the game.
It really was.
And it was, a lot of it was just like, Uncharted 2 was so good, and it's like capitalized on all the same stuff.
Yeah.
So people got mad because it's like, well, they didn't innovate anything. They didn't change anything. And it's like, which had been a big backlash against like, basically the second game. It was like, this is now the standard of how you got to innovate.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I'm also like I love that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had a tough time thinking, oh, and by the way, listening audience, there's some food that might be delivered in the next 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. If it happens,
so if Clayton
Tim's going to talk for a really long time.
I'm just going to get really into my personal life, and then Clayton will come back, and we'll jump right back.
And I'll never know that it happened, because I will not listen to this podcast, especially this one.
No, I hear you. but in terms of, the perfect game, Clayton, what are your go-to examples?
Oh, man.
I think both of us share, okay, let's preface this. Sometimes a perfect game isn't perfect, which is a weird thing to say.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's perfect to us, or maybe it's nostalgia that's affecting that memory.
Right.
But, like, I have in my mind perfect games that have deep flaws. But it's like, but the flaws are fine. Or they're part of it.
It could always be argued that, like, there is, like, a flaw in it. But it doesn't mean that it's not, like, the most perfect game for you.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, starting off with the two of us, Suikoden 2.
Yes.
I think is...
Big time.
Yeah, it's a perfect game. You know?
It is. And it had translation issues.
Translation issues. There's one whole mission that's unbelievably boring.
Yeah, Greenhill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let me take you through that real quick. The kids pretend to go to school, and then they get a mayor out of the school, and then they leave.
And there's so many missions of, like, do I just go to bed right now? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Even when I knew what I was supposed to do, I'd be like, is this a point where I just go to bed? And then I'd go, like, my character would just take a nap in the middle of the day and come out, and it's like, okay, cool. Well, we're all by the gates if you want to hang out. And it's like, oh, fuck. I didn't even know.
Yeah, or
you're doing,
like,
such a bad job of communicating to me, game.
Yes. Or, like, sometimes you're supposed to leave town, and you're like, how was I supposed to know that at all?
Yeah.
I've been searching the school for, like, 2 hours.
Try to leave town.
Yeah.
And then, like, you don't, like, you get bounced back.
Yeah.
And then you have to walk back into the town.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, fuck, I thought I was leaving.
It's bizarre. But at the same time, like, that, in my mind, is a perfect, like, PS1 RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of hankering for, and why I picked up. I was like, oh, The World Ends With You. This is supposed to be a great JRPG. And when I picked up, I'm like, this is not what I wanted at all.
No, you got, like,
I'm
the
still
next
enjoying
gen
it.
Of, like, they're trying to figure out what an RPG is nowadays.
Yeah.
That thing.
Let's have a card game going on the top. People love minigames. Yeah, not while I'm in the fight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, stupid game. I gotta say, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I have so much respect for The Last of Us.
Yeah. I absolutely think
like, I think that might be, like, a game that's, like, this is what everything else is gonna strive to hit for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of a flaw in that game, but, like, Jesus, the only argument you could maybe say is you don't get to choose the ending, but that's its strength, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, well, it's very narrative-driven, so there's not much of a chance. Like, when I was playing through it the second time, I couldn't get very far in it, because it's like, the main thing that was driving this forward was how much I loved the story and wanted to know what happened. But that is a tiny flaw, and only true for video games, of, like, there's not a ton of replayability for me personally.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer that they tacked on was, like, the weirdest thing. Like, why is there multiplayer in that game?
Yeah.
that was just, like, bizarre. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
But, man, other than that,
yeah,
completely flawless.
I'm gonna throw out a couple. First, Portal 2, I think, is a perfect game.
I
mean, again,
that's Dark Horse.
I didn't even think
you would say that one.
I don't even know if it's something I would pick up and play again, but, like, for what it tries to achieve, it's perfect. It's funny. The gameplay is great. It's not even my type of game, but it's, like,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a first person puzzle shooter.
Yeah.
I will say, I've played it a second time years later. Fantastic. Like, so totally worth it. There are things you're gonna remember forever, but, like, a lot of the Wheatley dialogue is up at the front part of the game is so funny.
Yeah.
And Stephen Merchant is unbelievable.
Oh, that,
I don't know why he doesn't
is
do
so incredible.
He should do as much voice acting as he can, because he's so fucking funny as those characters.
It's funny, because, like, that's a funny game, and I bet it holds up. I wouldn't consider South Park to be a Stick of Truth to be a perfect game, for some reason. I think, for me, it's like, after a while, the combat gets repetitive.
Yep, that's
like
a problem.
You just end up using, like, one spell over and over again or something like that.
And it definitely, like, it leans so heavily on what it is.
The comedy? Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
like,
absolutely.
It's not, it doesn't at all try to, like, I thought some of the combat was, like, pretty innovative.
Fun, yeah.
And pretty
really
cool.
Fun.
But yeah, like, by the time you go to Canada, you're like, what the fuck am I even doing anymore?
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy, I don't, like, is this padding, or is this like, hey, we had one more joke that, like, you know, we wouldn't put this in an episode, but we would put it in a game because it's so long.
Right. The other one I'm going to say is Mass Effect 2, I think, is pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played that so many times. It's still great.
I often call it a team building exercise, because that's, like, most of
the
game is.
Yeah,
but man, I love it. Very few games are character driven too.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big thing for me in that game. It wasn't even so much, like, the story is amazing, but another big thing was, like, what crazy person am I going to meet next?
Yes, you know? Right. Like, Jack or Legion, like,
I was so not ready for Jack.
Yeah,
when
no,
she showed, I was like, who the fuck is this? This girl is amazing.
Yeah.
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 That, like, changed my mind about BioWare, that game. And then Mass Effect 3, the ending kind of changed it to, like, well, I don't know if I love these guys as much. And then Dragon Age Inquisition, I was like, and! I think we're all set here.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too, is, like, I think a game can be very specific in what it wants to do, and if it hits all that, I think it's perfect in that regard. Like, I might even say Hotline Miami. Like, it's just... Yes. Oh, it's God. Just great, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't really think of flaws in that game because it's just trying to do this one weird thing.
There's a quote, that is in, like, a Penn Jillette video where he's, like, talking about Donald Trump that I don't love the context
of. I briefly thought you were going to say Hotline Miami. I was like, wow, I didn't know you played
there's
that.
A Hotline Miami quote, which would be so hard to pick out of a sentence because it's all so crazy.
Right.
Do you enjoy hurting people? That's a good one. Anyway. there's a quote, it's like, the genius is the one who's most like himself or herself.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of true in that game. It's like, it is so the Hotline Miami of its generation, you know what I mean? Like, there's no other game that fits into what it is so well.
Yeah.
It's like, they didn't mean to set out.
They're not trying to beat anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they even meant to make that game.
Right.
But they definitely meant to make something.
Yeah. Like,
and it's such an amazing experience playing through that game.
Yeah, and I can't really compare it to anything.
Yeah.
It's so very much its own thing.
The only thing, people call it, like, similar to the movie Drive, which
I think is
totally fair, but it's like, even that movie is such a completely different experience than playing that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a narrative, like, we know who everybody is, and then at the end of Hotline Miami, it's like, I feel like I lived in Miami in 1989 for a year. It was so weird. Oh, god damn.
Can you think of ones that have been called 10s in the past, but you don't agree with that?
I don't know. What are other examples of games that, like, have been called 10s, you know?
Sure.
Like, because we burned a few.
Yeah.
Like, Wind Waker is, like, maybe considered, like, a 10, you know?
Yes, that, Oh, is your food here?
Not yet.
Okay.
But, dude, it's on the way. I'm really excited, you guys.
I think Ocarina of Time, obviously.
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one I would disagree with.
Yeah?
Mostly.
You don't think it holds up to that 10 status?
I don't think so. There's so much goddamn... Like, talk about, like, the Green Hill mission.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really boring missions in Ocarina of Time.
I think that's the problem with Zelda games, is there's all those, like, filler dungeons.
I guess so, but I don't know if it's even, like, the dungeons. It's always the in-between stuff where it's like, go get King Dedodoro's, like, not that's from Kirby, but...
sure, yeah.
I can't believe that's the example. I went to make up a Zelda name, and I just said the name of a villain from Kirby.
Yeah.
Anyway, go get King, like, you know, fat ass's fucking, like, egg or whatever, and then you have to bring it back, and then he'll open the door to the dungeon, and you're like,
right.
Are you fucking kidding me with this guy? Like, why can't I just find it?
Right.
Because that's not a puzzle. That's a fetch quest. And in the original Zelda, and even in Wind Waker, a lot of the time it feels like it's more of a puzzle to figure out how to open up the dungeon. Or another one I really like, Majora's Mask, does that even better than
Ocarina of Time. The one that just, it's like Groundhog Day, right? It repeats the same. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Have you ever played it?
No, never have.
It's, you know, it's on the 3DS.
I feel like re-release. I...
I'll let you borrow.
Yeah. Okay. I missed a bunch of N64 gems. You gotta go get your food?
No, not yet.
Okay.
This is gonna, Tim, my phone is gonna start buzzing like crazy. I just heard Nicole in the kitchen. And I was like, I hope the listeners don't hear about it, but we made such a great goof about
it.
It doesn't even matter. With monkey shines like these, distractions are more than welcome. Tim just put his hand in the box, for example.
FF7, I don't think is a perfect game, but I think some people might think it is. I think that's based in nostalgia.
But do you, like, love it, though? Because, like, I don't really even like Ocarina of Time. Like, if I'm being totally honest, like, I'd give that, like, a 7 out of 10. I don't even really love it.
I'm fond of FF7, but I can't imagine going back and playing it right now. If I started playing FF7, I would just be like, this is such a waste of your time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. I played through it so many times, though, that I know so much of it. That's the problem with Suikoden, too.
Yeah.
I can never have that again.
That's funny.
It was, like, the greatest playthrough ever was me playing through that the first time and being like, I can't believe this!
Yeah. No, I mean, for one of those nostalgia playthroughs, I really gotta love a game nowadays. Yeah.
Even Suikoden 2, I can't do it anymore. Sure. I've burned it too many times.
Yeah. I get that.
I think I may have been playing that game, like, its seventh time a few months ago. maybe a year ago.
I've got to be up above a half dozen. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's so great.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, I tried to do it again recently. It's like, no, you're not ready. You gotta wait.
Old man. That's for when you're an old man.
Final Fantasy VII, though, I tried even replaying that with mods, and it couldn't keep my attention.
There are FF7 mods?
Oh, hell yeah.
On the PC?
Oh, yeah. And people have done, like, the character models.
High-resolution stuff.
Yeah, the ones from Advent Children.
Fascinating.
They took those, put them in the game, and I was like, this is going to be so great. Like, I've got high-res models running around on this, like, old fucking PlayStation background, and, and let me tell you, the best part about it is the combat is just so goofy. Because you have these, like, high-res
blocky
mods. Against, like, these...
Blocky enemies.
Blocky, like, this big turret gun thing, and you're like, oh, just fuck off. Don't even worry about it. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Like, I think I would hear people's arguments about FF6 being a perfect game, because that went into some really dark territory. Before games really even did that.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. It did some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that when I was a kid, I was, like, not ready for.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, like, too, like, dramatic a shift.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was Final Fantasy II was, like, one of my favorites, or four, or whatever. And then, like, so right after that, you know, it felt like, oh, man, Final Fantasy III! And it was like... This is, like, too much innovation.
I mean, there can be a suicide attempt if you don't do things right in FF6.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a weird jump to make.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, you know, it's like,
really the crystals are missing. You know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, can you believe the crystals are gone?
I'm going to steal your girlfriend, you know? No.
I think the modern ones, I think FF10 is maybe the close, but I still don't think of that as a perfect game.
Which one?
FF10.
Yeah, I did love it when it came out, but I still had a lot of nostalgia for the series.
Sure.
And, like, I was very disappointed in 9. I know you love it. It's your favorite one. But 10 was, like, it fixed all these things I didn't really like about 9 and introduced a bunch of new cool stuff.
It's fun again.
It really is fun. But, man, well, 9 was fun. It was just goofy.
Yes, you know? I agree with that.
Yeah. 8 was, like, the fucking, like... Godfather 2.
I hated that one. Well, Godfather 2's,
2 is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's so serious.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's
absolutely.
Like, it's that level of like, hey man, you just want to watch everything fall apart around you. And it's like, it just takes itself so seriously. Like, those garden battles are like the dumbest thing.
Yeah, they are.
And yet, it's
nuts.
Like, it's like, guys, this means more than anything ever has. It's like, there's magic in this world. Guys, get serious! My girlfriend is a sorceress. That's a huge point of conflict in that game.
Oh, it's huge.
That's such a big deal. It's like, everyone uses magic in this world, bro. Like, I don't understand.
I also feel like... I would totally hear anyone's argument that, like, an NBA 2K or whatever is a perfect game for them.
2K13 was, like, not such a huge deal.
I wouldn't be into it, but... Hey, if you want...
I tried, man.
...a great basketball game. Yeah, you liked it, right?
I mean, but it's just that thing at the end of the day of like, oh, cool, basketball, you know? And then I just go like, what the fuck am I doing with this? I got to get some elves in here, otherwise
right.
it's not
yeah,
worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Gotta get Link.
Let's get some fireballs in this place.
If that was...
God's sake.
If it was like Mario basketball, I probably would be more into it. But there's no Japanese market for
it. No, no, no. No, sir.
The biggest crime of all.
I think maybe a year ago I would have said... Gone home. But after seeing Lisa play it on the cruise ship, I was like, oh yeah, this isn't always very user friendly to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could make that argument about any of these games.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're using, like, you know, my significant other didn't pick it up and, like, start playing it super well right away. You know? Right. It's like, Nicole had a lot of trouble.
Tough time with Spelunky.
With Spelunky.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, she's really bad. No, she's killing it. But, alright, fair argument there. Yeah.
But again, I guess that's the thing about it. Like, it doesn't have to be a perfect game to be a perfect game.
Exactly.
Yeah!
But I don't know, Gone Home. There's other things in that game that are so strange.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the first half of it, I thought was a horror game.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Maybe that's more me, though. Me trying to put labels on that.
No, I absolutely thought that. And then about three quarters of the way in, it's like, oh, this is just about sadness.
It's just about touching...
The 90s, like, I guess.
A condom in your parents' bedroom. Boy, that was awful.
Yeah.
You open the drawer, there's just a condom in there, and it's like, oh, dude. Oh, come on with that. That sucks.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I wish you could check the date on it. It's like 1961
or something. Yeah. Yeah.
91. Somehow that's way sadder.
Clayton, I'm going to throw a wild card at you.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
You're going to throw a card at me?
I'm going to throw a card at you.
Who are you, Gambit?
Yep, Gambit. What are you doing? I'm auditioning for Gambit. I know they gave it to that one guy, but I'm just trying to get in there.
Wait, which guy is that, Tim?
Which guy is that? It's a guy from
not John Cena.
21 Jump Street films.
Yeah, what's his name? Magic Mike?
Magic Mike.
That's it.
David Magic Mike.
David Magic Mike Cohen.
I'm going to throw a wild card at you. I think that some of the Dynasty Warrior games are perfect games.
Tim? Listen. All right? Can we stop the tape?
I'm going
to
stop.
I need to
right
talk
now.
To Tim.
And
that
no.
is Tim unacceptable.
Why?
Unacceptable behavior. No.
No, you're right. They're probably not.
Which ones?
They're so repetitive. Does it matter?
That's the thing. Yeah. I'm like, I played the shit out of one that came out when we were younger.
It must have been like 3 or 2 or something like that.
I think it was like 4.
Now they're up to 8, I want to say.
No, they're like 13.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh. The one that just, like, was all over my Steam page for a while, because they were like, we really think you'd like this game. And I'm like, I feel insulted by this. it was like 13, I think.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe it'll be amazing. And then I looked at the reviews, and everyone's like, did you play any Dynasty Warriors game before this? Any of them? Okay, you're all set then. You don't need to play this. I was like, okay. But yeah, whatever one I played,
yeah,
it was a. Let me. Maybe it'll help if I remember some of the characters' names.
Okay,
because I know they're Lu different Bei, in every game.
Guan Yu.
Yeah.
Cao Cao.
Liu Bei.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cao Cao. That was the funniest name.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, Cao Cao showed up, and then it's like, who the fuck is that guy? And it's just some dude, and it's like, his name's Cao Cao. Yeah. Which, who was your favorite guy in there, though?
Oh, I'm gonna say Guan Yu.
He, Guan Yu?
Yeah.
Was he the one with, like, the scimitar sword?
And yeah,
red,
and the big
the
beard.
Red dress? Oh, no.
No, he was in green.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great one, too, I think.
We have even gotten too niche for video gamers.
This is only for the Dynasty Warriors diehard fans. And even they're probably like, you're fucking it up!
How about this,
you
then?
You don't know, it's 15!
Valkyria Chronicles. Perfect game?
You might, yeah.
I think you could say that.
I couldn't get all the way through it.
Okay.
Because when the character showed, I think we both talked about this.
Oh, the homophobic.
The character, the homophobic stereotype of a gay person.
That got really rough.
Voiced by John DiMaggio, Bender.
Oh, I really forgot about that for a while.
When, I'm just back to remind you, like a prankster spirit.
Yeah. Like a prankster spirit?
Yeah, like a Loki or a Puck.
Or a Djinn, a D-G-I-N-N.
Whoa, hold on.
Is that a racist term?
Tim, I don't drink, okay? I know it's your thing, but Djinn. I don't know, man. I really liked the combat in that.
Yeah.
And then they used it for XCOM, and it was amazing.
Oh, you're right.
It's the same combat.
You know what? XCOM's a perfect game.
XCOM is a perfect game.
Yeah.
And with that expansion, I didn't think it would get any better than XCOM. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Oh.
I love it so much. Then the expansion that came out made it even better, in my opinion.
I still gotta play that.
That's the one where you can build, like, exosuits that your crewmen get into.
Right.
But it also really accentuates how far humanity is going in maybe the wrong direction just to beat these aliens.
Right.
And I love that.
Nice.
Because, yeah, you get, like, some of your guys get, like, weird psychic powers. Psychic, some of them. Because they get injected with, like, the alien DNA and stuff. That is really fucked up. Like, we're combining our DNA with an alien race. Like, has untold consequences. And it's like, hey, man, we gotta beat the aliens. And you're, and because you're part of it, you're like, yeah, you're right. We do.
Man, I wish that sequel was coming to consoles.
Yeah.
Just PC, but.
Boy, I'll tell you about it sometime, you know? It's gonna be great. Tim almost started crying just now. He got so upset with me.
Clayton, I'm gonna throw another one at you.
Oh,
tell
God.
Me if it's perfect.
These have been ridiculous curveballs.
FTL.
Oh.
I think that's a perfect game.
That might be a perfect
game. I think
it's
a perfect game.
You might have something there.
Yeah.
That really is. Well, some of these scripted encounters you get used to after
sure.
a while. What? Even those vary up.
But
though.
That's a roguelike game. You're gonna.
It still
you know
is a roguelike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got. Yeah, I think you got me.
Tim wins. Clayton
what
loses.
About, wait. What about? Hold on. Before it's you put that you don't wave that checkered flag yet,
my friend.
I have
a marching band that's going to come down the stairs in just a second.
What about we talked about it earlier?
Okay,
Spelunky.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think so.
Tim? Okay, here's my only argument that I came up with. How would I know about those crazy, weird ways to?
You know
win?
What? That's a very good
but
point.
Is that a plus or is that a minus?
I think
some people would say it as a see it as a plus.
Well, for a game like that,
yeah.
I think it is more in keeping with the spirit of the game.
I think so too, because it's like those old school like arcade games where you don't know where the secret doors are. Or
but it is weird that you can make shortcuts in that game.
Sure, yeah.
I never do that, and I used to because I was like, oh, this is the way you beat it. And
yeah.
It's like, nope, it's all supposed to be in one run. It's a weird thing to be in that game.
Yeah.
And no multiplayer, which, come on, how awesome would it be if I could just sit down and play, like, Spelunky with you? Or with Prescott or someone? Or, I don't know, Kellen? Ugh.
All right, another curveball back at you.
Okay.
Ready? Prepare yourself. Angry Birds.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
How about this? 80 Days.
Oh, I haven't played it.
So oh, right, you haven't played that one.
But from what I hear, it's great.
Gets very repetitive is the only thing I would say against that one.
What about King's Quest V?
What?
Yeah, I do love King's Quest V.
Wait, is that a space one?
Space Quest was the space one.
That's right.
And that, man, the seventh one of those, it's too long. That's the problem with almost every comedy game. It's just...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the best thing about Portal 2 is it's not horribly long.
Yeah.
And even it has maybe, like, a moment that drags right before you get back into the facility. You're like, okay, I hope it's not more of this. Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, Clayton's food has arrived.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. But we're wrapping this up?
Yeah, I think we're wrapping this up. You plug your stuff first, and then I'll do mine.
All right, listen, guys. You guys see this team. They go by the name The Late 90s. Wednesdays, 10:30 at the IO Theater. And you know what? I used to not plug it because people would come all the time. Those days are over, folks.
Oh, no.
All right? No one's coming to this show. If you're not there, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a man at the end of his rope, okay?
Clayton's got a knife. He's used to.
All right. Let's just, you know, this is for the food, Tim. Don't give me that look. Okay, Tim, what you got?
What was that show you were just plugging?
The Late 90s.
Oh, you're saying
Wednesdays
people don't come anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. Yeah.
No, yeah. It's an obvious lie.
Were you talking about the intensive kids that used to come and are now?
Yeah, no, there's
okay,
no
gotcha.
Intensive kids.
Yeah,
there
that's
anymore.
Everybody.
It was so packed. Everybody.
Oh, wasn't it great?
And then it was like back to, you know, like a decent sized house, and I was like
about 15 on a good night.
Well, 50 for me, but no, it's more like, you know, like we had only like 25 people show up the other day, and we were like, oh, geez, like we gotta kick the marketing back up. I'm like, 25 is not bad.
No.
Like, especially the night it was and everything that was going on.
For me, come see Naps at the IO Theater.
That's the show where you guys sleep through the whole thing.
That's true, yeah.
And you lucid dream, and we broadcast it for the audience.
It's Naps and Feldmanowski in, is it the Chris Farley Cabaret?
Dude, probably.
It's the one closest upstairs?
Yeah,
who
I think
cares?
So. Yeah. that gives people more information than saying the actual name.
Come check that out. I think that's everything. Back next week with somebody.
I love it.
And
let's
then
do it.
Week after that, we're going to talk Metal Gear Solid.
All
what?
Right.
Whatever it is.
All right.
Okay, Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
My food's here. Yay.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.